This week on See Here's the Thing.
You can't go anywhere without ordering a cheese curd.
It's an honor to be nominated. Shaboom, boodoom.
Nope, that's
not it. Then Patrick goes, ah!
Peed a little bit too.
I'm going to make you moan with this one. Idris Elba.
Elba. His real name would be Action Jackson.
How about that?
How about that?
Spider pig does whatever a spider pig does. Your breath smells like, don't drink that. Idrissa Akuna
Matata.
Way out west, there was this podcast I want to tell you about. Goes by the name of See Here's the Thing, and here's episode 58 starting right about now.
And we're back. We have risen from the ashes. We are back to podcasting.
Wait a minute. That would mean we had burned.
We burned into eternal fame and glory and came out on the other side.
Wow.
Squeaky clean and ready for more podcasting.
I don't know if you can call us squeaky clean.
We're never squeaky clean.
Heck no.
But the swearing has been minimal the past few weeks.
Is that good?
I think because we haven't actually been here to podcast. Listeners, welcome back. This is episode 58 of See Here's the Thing. I am Kate, and I am once again joined by my lascivious co-host, Patrick.
Ooh, someone's been prepping.
Actually, I didn't prep. It just came to my mind.
Well, how about that?
Just like this show, almost all the time.
Comes to your mind.
Comes to my mind. Patrick, we have not been in the state, I think over the past 3 weeks, maybe 3 days.
We have not been in studio in some time.
For a long time. Yeah. It feels like forever.
Yeah.
We had another election hiatus.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
We took some time off, but there was no election that we are aware of. We just have been traveling for almost the entire month of June.
Yeah, we were kind of out of commission.
We already spoke about our trip to Disney, which was phenomenal. And I think we did go on at length about the new world of Pandora and Animal Kingdom. We talked about Universal Studios.
Yeah.
But then almost, what was it, four days later, we got on a plane to Rochester, Minnesota.
Say it right.
Rochester.
Minnesota.
Yeah. Rochester, Minnesota for a theater competition.
We sure did.
And we got back last Sunday and have just, our brains have been mush.
Yeah.
We have not been functioning well. I never, after every vacation I take, it takes me about a week to really recover because I feel so sad that it's done.
Well, this is what I'm telling you. When we go on vacations, we need to actually take vacations. We don't do that.
Oh, you mean like a relaxing vacation?
Yeah, we need to do that.
Our vacations are very much go, go, go all the time.
Yeah.
And even the theater one was, there was a lot of relaxation, but it was very nerve-wracking.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The theater trip.
Because when we were not performing, we were watching other shows and then listening to other shows get adjudicated. And it was very, very nerve-wracking and kind of on edge. And the bad news for us was that our group had to perform the very last spot. So of all the entire week, we did not get to perform on stage until the Friday at like 10 o'clock at night. That was, it was nerve-wracking to sit and watch and listen to everybody else perform and try to guess where you fit in. And
if we actually had some listeners that asked me if we were going to talk about the competition and talk about our experience, and we'll go into it a little bit, just to clarify what it was. We have been competing since March at the state and then the regional level. And then this last week, we went to, like we said, Rochester for the national level.
Say it right.
Rochester at the national level. And basically what we had to do is present any kind of show, play or musical, that had to be within an hour time limit.
Well, we had to do the same show every time we competed.
Correct.
We couldn't change
the
shows.
Yeah, you can't change shows. It has to stay the same. Your cast must remain the same. And we've competed and won at the first two levels. And then as a result, we went to this national level. So our week, basically, like Patrick said, it was a lot of waiting around. It was some rehearsing for our actual show. It was a lot of watching other shows and attending some workshops, some conferences, and basically just getting a chance to see the city of Rochester.
Thank you.
Minnesota.
Thank you.
Which their accents were just downright delightful.
Heck yes.
And the cheese curds were wonderful.
And you can't go anywhere without ordering a cheese curd.
I know, they have all different kinds. Yeah. My favorite was at Dooley's, the fried cheese curds with some ranch.
Yeah, but I mean, we even had cheese curds in a bag.
We did.
It was good.
At
They're
a
good.
Tiny little gas station outside the airport. The yeah. Minneapolis airport.
Thank you.
Don't you know.
It was a really good experience. We had a lot of fun. Our group did not top in the top five.
Which is okay.
But we still had a really great time.
Yeah, there were 12 theaters there and we got 3 nominations out of the lot and
including
Best Ensemble
and
Best Actor for our friend Sean
and
Best Supporting Actress
from our dear lovely Kate.
That's right. I did get a little nod. It's an honor to be nominated.
Oh boy.
It's such an honor. You like me. You really like me.
Not too much. Not enough.
Not like that accent though.
Not enough. So it was a good week. We had a lot of fun, but now I'm ready for a vacation where we sit on a beach and we don't do anything.
That's coming up.
No, I want it now.
I know, we have to wait a few months.
I want it now, Daddy.
But wait, you're forgetting one point that I think our visitors, our listeners, who you can visit us if you want,
sure.
But our listeners would find interesting is that we got a chance to go to the Mall of America.
We did go to the Mall of America.
We had one day to kill in Minneapolis and we had the chance to go to the Mall of America. I've never been. I think a lot of our group had never been.
Yeah.
And we got a chance to go into the Nickelodeon world, which is where the roller coasters are.
I'll tell you that for those of you who have not been to the Mall of America in Minnesota, the Mall of America is a mall.
It is in America.
Large, gigantic, enormous mall.
4 floors.
Included in this mall are such things as a freshwater tank. That has sharks.
Yeah, they have an aquarium.
And seahorses.
Sea Life is what it was called.
Sea Life. Not Sea World.
Not Sea World.
Sea Life.
No Shamu.
And you get to walk through tunnels of hammerhead sharks. Not hammerheads, but...
Oh, it was so cool.
What's the sword?
Sawhead. Sawfish.
Sawfish. The sharks with the saws on their faces.
Saw 7.
That's not it. Anyway, saw some amazing aquatic life and then went to the Nickelodeon land.
Like World of Nickelodeon or Nickelodeon World. A lot of SpongeBob.
Oh,
lots
just the
of
one
SpongeBob.
Roller coaster.
No, there was that, and then they had like the meet and greets, and then they had something else. There was an attraction for SpongeBob. But in my mind, the Mall of America had always been famously known for having a roller coaster in it. And I honestly thought that the roller coaster went through the entire mall as you shopped. That's not necessarily true. There's one point where the mall opens up to this enormous indoor space that almost looks like you're outside, but there's actually like skylights above it. And that's where all of the attractions are.
What would you say? There's like 3 roller coasters? 4?
I mean,
different variations of roller coasters.
There had to have been 20 attractions total. Oh, there was a lot.
Yeah. The one that we rode on was the SpongeBob,
like Splashdown, Wipeout, or
something like that.
Ripsaw Falls. No, that's Universal.
So you go up in this car on your back, and it goes up really slow to the roof. Like if you lift your hands, you could scrape your fingernails on the roof. Pretty close.
Felt that way.
And then it immediately turns around and goes almost shaboom. Straight down.
Shaboom.
That's what it does. It shapoops.
Shaboom, boo-doom.
Nope, that's not it. So that was quite the adventure. Apparently, I was loud enough to be heard.
Yes, there's a ton of children that ride these rides. I mean, it's just kind of like a normal theme park that you could get a Ride-A-Rama band if you want to ride all the rides unlimitedly. Or, of course, you know, the money-making thing. You buy individual credits to ride the rides. And we did that. And 3 of us decided to go on this enormous roller coaster. And 3 of us decided to go on this roller coaster. And the 2 cars ahead of us were probably 14-year-old, 12-year-old girls. And all you heard as they went over the first hill, like really high pitch. Then Patrick goes,
I screamed a little bit.
And I'm sorry. I made you sound like Frankenstein.
And peed. I peed a little bit too.
I peed. Just a little.
I was not anticipating that drop.
Well, it's such a different kind of roller coaster because... It was slow. And this probably isn't so safe, but it did move side to side a little bit. Yeah. But it was fun.
It was fun. We enjoyed it.
The loop wasn't as fast as normal roller coaster
loops
were. No,
it was a really slow loop.
It was very slow.
I was afraid my wallet was going to fall out.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
And no centrifugal force.
What else was there? There was a lot of stuff for Ninja Turtles.
Yeah,
apparently now is Nickelodeon.
That airplane thing.
Oh, yeah, like the Shredder's... something or others.
Something or other. And it looks like you're...
Shredders, shooters.
You're riding in individual airplanes. I don't know how to describe it. It's pretty cool.
Dare I go on without mentioning that we have not gotten to your word of the day yet?
Oh, I know. I'm very much paying attention.
Oh,
to that.
I thought maybe you were just so excited to talk about the roller coasters you forgot.
Nope.
Patrick,
on purpose.
Would you do me the great honor of introducing our word of the day to our wonderful listeners?
The word of the day will be moan.
Moan?
Moan. I would not do that to a guest, so I'll do that to you.
M-O-A-N.
Moan.
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 Like moaning myrtle.
That works.
Oh, Harry.
No, that's not it.
I'm moaning myrtle.
You're trying to be the talent. Harry. I know what you're doing.
Harry, I was thinking. Harry, I'm dying.
Harry.
Harry, I was going to tell you. Oh, good old
moaning
Dumbledore.
Moaning myrtle is dying.
Do you want to swim in the U-bend?
Whoa.
She asks him that.
In the
U-bend. It's part of the toilet.
Yes, let me swim in my U-bend.
You got a bend in your U.
Should see a doctor
Should
about
be straight.
That.
It's a U now. Anyway.
Moan.
Yeah. Okay. This is going to be a tough one.
Yeah, it is.
I don't have paper to write it
me
down
Me neither.
On.
I'm never going to remember. I'm going to bump the key again and lose it.
I got something you might be moaning about.
too early.
I'm going to make you moan with this one.
Too
Actually,
soon.
This news clip is something that harkens back to something you brought up maybe 10 episodes ago, maybe 15 episodes ago. It's something that's going to make you a little nervous.
Okay, I'm all for it.
Are you ready for this? This week, Joan Lee, the wife of Stan Lee, has passed away at 95.
Oh, dear God. Once one goes...
That's my whole point. You mentioned a while back the celebrity death list, and Stan Lee was on that.
Yeah, he is.
And they're of comparable ages, and so I read this and thought of you like, uh-oh, the celebrity death list, he might be next.
Well, he was in, we just saw a movie he was in.
Which we will talk about.
Which we will talk about.
At the latter half of this program. Yeah. I don't want to spoil what it is.
It's pretty confusing what it might be.
I know.
Yeah.
It's Dunkirk.
Dunkirk. Oh, I can't wait for Dunkirk.
We will be talking about Spider-Man Homecoming at the end of this podcast.
Later on, yeah.
But right
Not
now,
the last two
Stan
minutes
Lee.
So.
Stan Lee's wife, Joan.
How old is Stan Lee?
Well, she was 95.
That doesn't answer my question.
And they were married for 69 years.
Still doesn't answer my question.
And I'm looking.
Come on.
I'm looking.
Stan Lee. He's got to be 90s. Got to be mid-90s.
I'm just going to look it up.
Yeah, just type in there. So, and by all means, open up a new window so that the speakers will
No,
start
Google
playing.
Doesn't have any. He's 94.
94.
He was born a day after my mother. Not really. Like, he was born in 1922.
Your mom looks fantastic.
He was born in 1922.
Hi, Judy.
So he's 94. He was a male cougar.
I don't think that's true.
I almost said Robin the Cradle. That's not it either.
Yeah, nope. He's not a cougar in the crib either.
So very sad. That's awful. And I just can't imagine the world without Stan Lee.
He's not dead.
I know.
Mrs. Stan Lee.
Which is why I can't imagine it.
Well, good. Don't imagine it because he ain't dead yet.
Well, our condolences go out to the Lee family.
Yes. If you're listening, Stan, we're very sorry.
Not to be confused with Bruce Lee. Who is
he
also
died
dead?
Yeah. Good Lord, yes, he died.
Sarah Lee?
I believe she was overweight and died of obesity.
Oh.
Too many
Swiss cake rolls.
Too many Swiss cake rolls.
Hey, do you know that people, when they search for Stan Lee, also search for Tobey Maguire? Do you want to guess how old Tobey Maguire is?
Why are we doing that?
Just to kind of go hand in glove with our later Spider-Man review.
Okay. I will guess that Tobey Maguire is 39.
He's 42.
I was close.
42. I never imagined Tobey Maguire to be that old.
Well, he was, what, 12 when he made Spider-Man, wasn't he?
Well, that had to have come out in the early 2000s.
The early thousands.
Yes.
I always wondered what we were going to call that.
They drew the comics on the cave walls. You want to guess how old Robert Downey Jr. is?
Yes, you know I do.
Go ahead.
Robert Downey Jr., let's see. He was in Saturday Night Live in the 80s, probably when he was in his early 20s. So, process of elimination, taking away all the numbers that are possible. I'm going to guess that Robert Downey Jr., 80, 90, 2010.
I'm sorry, 32. I took a nap.
He has got to be 52 years old.
That is exactly dead nuts on.
Oh, man.
Good job.
Yeah. Yeah, you were thinking maybe it was going to take
Did you look that up on your phone?
No, I was looking at a picture of our friends.
Oh, okay. You really were. Yeah. No, he's 52. And then this is all looping back around to Stan Lee, because when I looked up his name, these search options came up. Tom Holland, the brand new Spider-Man, is how old?
The new Spider-Man?
Yeah, the brand new one.
He's, let's see, he was born, he was built in the...
he was built?
The movie was filmed in 2017, and he was probably, I'm guessing, 20. I'm guessing he's 20.
He's 21.
Oh,
you're very close. You're good at this game. You want to keep going?
No, I do not.
But Patrick, you've been like pretty close. Okay. I mean, you said 39 for Tobey Maguire. Let me just get you another one. Let me just find another. Oh, I got it. Here we go. Okay, your next person is Idris Elba, who we now saw in a...
Wait a minute.
No, what?
Was that Idris Elba in the...
No.
No.
Why are you doing Dumbledore?
Isn't that Alba Dumbledore?
That's Albus Dumbledore.
That's Albus Dumbledore?
Not Idris Elba.
Elba. Oh.
You're mixing the S up at the end of his last name.
Sorry.
No, I bring this up because we just saw a trailer for The Dark Tower, which is starring Idris Elba as the gunslinger. So I thought...
Oh, the black man.
Yes. Not William Matthew McConaughey.
Not Matthew.
How old do you think he is?
The black man.
Yes. He is a black man.
Well, let's see. What else was he in?
He was in Thor, and probably Thor Ragnarok.
Excellent.
Down to Fraggle Rock.
Excellent.
So how old is he?
So Albus Dumbledore.
Oh, God. In
what?
Although this thought process has been working for you, so go with it.
I'm going to guess he is, let's see, he's probably younger than I think. So I'm going to say he's 53 years old.
You are very wrong this time. He's 44.
Oh,
he's the same age as you.
He looks terrible.
He looks good, man. He's an attractive fellow. Do you want to guess what his real name is?
Albus.
There's no Albus anywhere in his name.
Albi.
Alibi?
Albi.
One Dumbledore. Albi Dumbledore. Albus two Dumbledores.
What's his pen name? What's his pseudonym?
Well, he goes by Idris Elba. I'm asking
Idris
you.
Idris Elba.
Idris, say it with me. Idris. Elba.
Elbo.
No, not Elbo. Elba.
Elba.
Like Jessica. Alba.
Alba.
Idris Elba.
He's obviously not related to Alba. So
or Alf.
Let's see. His real name would be Action Jackson.
You're so close.
I'm so close.
It's Idrissa Akuna
Matata.
What a wonderful phrase. Idrissa Akuna Elba.
Seriously?
OBE. That means he's knighted.
OBE.
Or maybe it's just OB.
What do his friends call him?
Drissy. Akuna. I wonder how many times he's introduced himself. Well, his last name is Elba, but Akuna. Matata. Akuna.
What a
Matata.
Wonderful
Akuna.
Phrase.
Matata. Hey, everybody. Guess what? We're nominated for a podcast award.
Woo!
So here's the gist of this. A while back, I found this website. It was podcastawards.com. And this is the 12th annual set of awards that they're doing. And so all I had to do was put in our podcast under the TV film category. And now listener nominations are open until July 31st. This is where you come in. We need your help to stay in the competition. If we get enough nominations before the 31st of July, we will move on to the next round where the judges will start listening to our podcasts. So here's where you can help. You can go on to podcastawards.com, create a user profile, and then vote for us in either the TV film category or the People's Choice Awards
or
category.
Both.
You can do both. And then there are also other categories that you can vote for. If you happen to see some other great podcasts on there that you like, feel free to vote. One that's actually on there that's one of our favorites is Matt Besser's Improv for Humans.
Mm-hmm.
It's on one of the comedy categories. So again, podcastawards.com, you have until July 31st to vote for us, and then we'll see what happens. Who knows? We may go on to round two.
Round two.
Fight. The main event for today, and I guess we can already segue
into this.
Is we saw Spider-Man Homecoming last night.
We sure did.
And it was the very first showing at our theater. And it was not full.
It was two.
It was not.
It was
sold
two.
Out.
It was two.
There were empty seats.
There were not.
Yes, there were. Front row, there were empty seats. Some of the D-box seats weren't full. The theater was not full.
I say it was.
It was not. It's not a sellout.
You are being pessimistic.
I'm being realistic. There were empty seats, as we have seen with, I think, even Wonder Woman and Guardians of the Galaxy. Although I'm not sure. I don't think we saw Guardians on opening night. We didn't. We saw...
Didn't we?
I almost said Sister Act. We saw Wonder Woman on opening night. And that might have been a sellout, but this definitely was not. But it was pretty full. It was pretty full. And right up until the very last minute before the movie started, it was not full. So one of my favorite things to do before we start reviewing the film is to talk about the trailers.
Yeah, and they were a little disappointing.
Yeah, there were a lot of repeats.
Mm-hmm.
Thor Ragnarok was back on there.
Mm-hmm.
We also saw no Dunkirk trailer this
time.
No. Which was disappointing.
And we saw the apes again.
War for the Planet of the Apes, yes. Yeah. Which Anthony from Jock and Nerd has said we need to watch because he says they're great films.
I believe that.
But we did get a trailer for The Dark Tower starring Idris Elba and Matthew McConaughey. And
Harry.
It looks not Albus Dumbledore.
Sorry.
It does look really good.
Yeah.
This is a Stephen King novel.
Not familiar.
And neither am I. But it looks like there's a separate world, a part of ours, that in the world exists this gunslinger played by Idris Elba and the villain played by Matthew McConaughey.
All right.
And we did not hear any of that in the trailer,
no.
But... It appears that they're going to be pitted against each other. It just looked really freaking cool.
Yeah.
I know nothing about the movie or the book series. It just looked really awesome. I'm stoked to see it.
Yeah.
I love Idris Elba.
Yeah.
Hakuna
Matata.
What else did we see in terms of trailers?
I don't want to bemoan it, but we didn't see anything from Dunkirk. What the heck?
Or The Last Jedi.
Well, and I'm okay with that because if there was something else in The Last Jedi, we would have seen it before we walked in there.
Or Infinity War. Or no, right. Not Infinity War. Justice League. It's too soon for Infinity War. Nothing for Justice League. But yeah, it was overall disappointing. You would have thought with Spider-Man would have been way better trailers, and just wasn't.
I got moaned in, by the way.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
When did you say that?
I said I don't want to bemoan it, but...
Oh, but bemoan?
Any form of the word. Those are the rules.
I guess you're right.
Yeah.
But anyway, those were the trailers we saw.
There was others. I can't remember.
There were, but I feel like if they're not memorable.
Well, there was one that, maybe I'm thinking of the Towers one, but there was one I was like, I don't even know anything about this movie. Maybe that was that one though.
If I can't remember, it's not worth talking about.
Well.
How about that?
Oh, speaking of how about that?
How about that?
The Catch Me Outside, how about that?
Yeah.
She is getting some prison time.
Oh, good.
Yeah, she was, I should have looked it up before we started, but she did something, she broke the law, she did something she should not have done, and she's now looking at some jail time.
Is this going to be before or after her big TV show?
Probably in place of, because she will not be able to film it from inside the bars. How about that?
Catch Me Inside, how about that?
That's about it. So
well,
karma,
good.
Karma is alive and well.
Yeah. Why is it that Patrick and I have been watching The Gong Show on, what is it, CBS?
ABC.
ABC. I don't understand why we continue to glorify mediocrity or that's not even the right word.
Well, what's confusing to me is that the act that I've now watched like three episodes, and the act that I feel should have done well doesn't. They had last night. They had these double Dutch guys, three guys that did amazing double Dutch, like jump ropes. They were fantastic, and they didn't score well at all. And the guy who won was a contortionist, which he was good too. But I was very confused by that. I didn't understand it at all. Yeah,
we saw an episode of it, I think, a few weeks ago, and the winner. I kid you not, the winning group was a husband and wife team, and they took bananas.
Oh.
And they were...
I think we talked about
this. I don't even know if we did. I tried to block it out of my memory. They took bananas and took chunks of them in their mouths and spit them across the room into each other's mouth, and then they would mash them up in their mouths and like spew them like a smoothie machine into the other person's mouth. It was disgusting, and it won.
Yeah.
It won.
Really
How
gross.
Is this entertainment?
Really
It's just
gross.
Disgusting. And I don't really find Mike Myers to be all that enjoyable on
no,
it.
No, he's not. And the character that he does is a fat bastard, Austin Powers kind of mashup.
Yeah, combination. Absolutely. Yeah.
And it's nothing new, and it's kind of the same old joke. And he starts every show by saying, "Who's a cheeky monkey?" And the audience screams, "You are." And it's just, ugh.
Yeah, actually, I do find the judges to be entertaining.
Yeah, but like I said, I don't understand how they're voting. I don't understand.
It seems very random. It does. And almost set up at times. And who knows if this is leading up to a final episode where all the winners come back, because I just don't get it.
Oh, and I don't even want to watch that. I don't.
Patrick, do you have a follow-up to the Catch Me Outside Girl?
Catch Me Outside Girl, Danielle Bergoli, which I am ashamed of myself for even saying her name and Bergoli. Making her more famous, has been arrested for prostitution. It is reported that Danielle, also known as Catch Me Outside Girl, who appeared in a Dr. Phil show, has been arrested for prostitution. Danielle is only 13 years old, according to authorities.
She stole my idea.
She was found inside a small hotel room with a 38-year-old man whose name will remain anonymous.
Heavens.
As I said, karma is alive and well.
America.
Yep.
Yep. Sorry.
Yep. Yep.
Did you hear me say moan in there?
I did not.
I got it in.
Look at you with your hand on your hip, all proud of yourself.
I didn't, though.
You didn't?
I'm just teasing you.
I'm confused.
I'm sorry. Anyway, you want to talk about Spider-Man?
Spider-Man does whatever a Spider-Man can. Spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out, here comes Spider-Man.
Boom, 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 boom. That's my contribution to that song.
Well, the snaps were also
after our stellar film scores of, what was it, 2 weeks ago? Yeah. When we were singing Danny Elfman's scores. We're building some steam here with that.
See, the problem with the Spider-Man theme song is I can't sing it without thinking, Spider-Pig
does whatever a Spider-Pig does.
Can he climb on a wall? No, he can't. He's a pig.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah.
Which, not to detour from Spider-Man, because we've spent some time on news clips and now we're on our main topic, but I have been enjoying watching The Simpsons with
Yay!
Patrick. This is a show that I swore I would never watch simply because my father watched it when I was growing up. You know how kids do. They don't want to do the things their parents do, but I have subtly gotten into this series, and favorite character that kind of hooked me was Ralph Wiggum. I love any Ralph Wiggum quote. Listeners, if you know of a very good Ralph Wiggum quote, please send it my way, because
we have doozies.
My favorite right now of the moment is he's around. I forget who he was around, and it was around an adult. And he says to the adult, "Your breath smells like, don't drink that." That's my favorite. Well, last night's was pretty good too.
Yeah.
He was scared by something and he was sitting next to his mom and he said, "Mom, I want to go back inside." And he tried to crawl up her skirt.
Yeah. Yeah, my favorite quote is my dog's breath smells like cat food. I like that one. Or me fail English, that's impossible.
Yeah.
I love that one.
Just a great character. I love that kind of stuff. When you find a little one-liner that's not even the main focus in a scene. I love that.
Well, and the other character that you're enjoying is Martin.
I think at one point I thought he and Ralph were the same person, but they are different. And
I very much enjoy him. Yeah.
You got me hooked now.
Good.
Look, you got me to golf, which also my dad did. And you got me to watch The Simpsons. What will you do next?
There's so many different ways I can go with this, and none of them are actually appealing. So
drink
I'm gonna
dirty martinis. My dad liked those too.
Okay, there's no good way for me to segue out of this.
So let's segue.
Excellent.
Into everyone's favorite neighborhood, Spider-Man. If you are new to the podcast, the way that we do a movie review is we start off pretty squeaky clean in that we will not spoil the movie for you, unless you want us to, but we can't do it live. But we will start off and we will make a very loud and obvious sound effect happen when we do start talking about spoilers. So if you have not seen the film yet, and maybe you're on the fence about seeing it, this part of the review is for you, and the latter part is for those of you who have already seen the film as well and want to hear our thoughts and opinions.
Or will never see the movie because you just don't care and just still want to hear our opinions.
Yeah, but here's the gist. You should see this film.
Yeah.
Patrick's a little milquetoast about it.
I'm a little milquetoast about it.
I am not. I was very much a fan of this movie. I didn't go into it with really any expectations other than I love Tom Holland in Civil War. And he gave me great faith in this film, and I was very excited to see him, and he did not disappoint. He is my favorite part of the film. He is my favorite part of Homecoming.
He's wonderfully derpy.
Yeah, just like, actually kind of like how Gal Gadot was a little bit in Wonder Woman. She was delightfully derpy at times and charming.
Do you think there's a love connection coming up soon?
No.
For those two?
Mm-mm.
Oh my God, I can totally see it.
Do not.
What kind of powers?
You even researched Peter Parker's love interests. She was not on the list.
Not true, but yes, I didn't really research.
You research for Patrick, though, is reading a page. You did do some research.
I did look at a Chive post, yes.
Yes, you did. So he was delightful.
He was.
But I think Patrick's favorite part of the movie might have been Michael Keaton.
Oh, Michael Keaton, who in my mind can do no wrong. And in every movie he's been in, he's been wonderful.
I heard he killed a man. I heard he killed a man.
Said wonderful.
What if he killed a man?
Tell me a movie that you've seen that you didn't like Michael Keaton in. If you say Batman, so help you God.
No. I like that.
Okay.
Jack Frost.
Loved him in Jack Frost.
What's the plot of Jack Frost?
There is a... guy that
if you can get this right, I'm going to be super impressed.
There's a guy that can make things cold.
That's not the plot.
And he does.
That's
He's
not the plot.
Jack Frost.
That's not the plot at all.
I turn into genre.
Do you want to know what it actually is?
I really don't, and I don't care because I love Michael Keaton. Love him, love him, love him, love him. He took a hiatus. He was gone for a while. Because of Jack Frost, he had some time off. He had to think about his life. He came back in Birdman.
Yes.
And blew me away. And he is...
Odd, wonderful movie.
But he is... Which one? Birdman?
Yeah.
Oh. But he, in this movie, is creepy and petrifying and just just a glorious villain.
He's a presence.
A glorious villain.
Every scene he's in is awesome.
I sit here right now without spoiling anything and say, I hope he's back for more.
But he died in the movie.
Oh my God!
Or did he?
Or did
who he? Will ever know? This is a spoiler-free portion.
That's right.
The movie is a very different superhero movie than we are used to seeing. Very different, and it was a little weird to see the Sony logo prior to the Marvel scroll, because you kind of forget who owns Spider-Man, who owns Tony Stark. It's all gotten jumbled in our heads. But the movie is very much anchored in character work. I'd say that there is a far greater amount of character work going on here rather than fighting. Would you agree?
Yes. If you're going into Spider-Man hoping you're going to see action sequence after action sequence after action sequence, this movie is not for you. It's not packed with a lot of fighting, a lot of people getting beat up. It has its fair share of action, but it's definitely not laced with it.
No, and I found that to be refreshing. I think Patrick at times found the pacing to be a little slow.
It did.
Correct me if
I'm
wrong.
I did.
And I definitely had that feeling with the start of the film. But I think once it kind of got going, that went away. But there are moments where the dialogue doesn't work. There are moments where the dialogue is a little like, I can't even hear you. Like the sounds were a little soft.
I will tell you that I thought the very beginning was brilliant.
The very introduction.
Yeah.
With Michael Keaton or the secondary?
No, with the handheld, the Steadicam.
So we'll talk about that in our second part of our review.
Fine.
But that's fair enough to say that the introduction explains some things.
It does, and it's brilliant how they did it.
And it's delightful.
Yeah.
You will very much enjoy it. Other cast members in this film of note include Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark, Iron Man.
Shocking.
Who's 52. As we learned today.
Yeah.
And I will say that I think some fans were worried that this was going to be too much an Iron Man film. It is not. I can absolutely say that coming out of it, that he is in it just enough. He is peppered in the film. Did you like what I did there? He peppered like Pepper Potts because he's dating her.
I forgot about that part. Go on.
Anyway, he's in it just enough to have a great impact and to be enjoyable. And he doesn't bog it down. It's still very much Tom Holland's film.
Yes.
Very much.
And I also tell you that if you get the opportunity to see this in the theater now, by all means do. Do not wait for the theater to be empty. The audience reactions when you have a full theater makes it almost even better.
It does.
Because we were in a movie, we were in the movie theater with roughly, I don't know, we'd say 80 to 90 comic book, like, aficionados.
Oh, yeah.
So when there were certain times when something would come up and you'd hear, yeah! Because they were all excited because a character came on that they know from the comic books or a reference was made to something in the comic books. And oh my gosh, it was really funny.
It kind of felt like when we saw Captain America Civil War opening night, or it might have been the first Avengers movie that we saw opening night. It's that kind of excitement. And this crowd, I looked around and the demographic was a little different than the demographics I've been seeing at movies for superheroes lately. This was a younger bunch. It seemed like they were very, very gung-ho Spider-Man. Didn't get that feeling for Wonder Woman or for Guardians of the Galaxy.
No, but like those movies, we did see people dress up in costume.
Did you see a Spider-Man person?
I sure did.
I didn't see anybody.
No, as we were walking out of the theater, there was three guys in Spider-Man shirts, I feel. I mean, look at the guy who's playing. He's ripped like Jesus.
He's a tiny lad, though.
He's ripped like
Jesus. He's 21.
How about that?
As we've learned today.
He's playing like a 14, 15-year-old.
And convincingly so. Don't you think?
I don't know. I have no... Well, actually, I have a frame of reference, but...
I really thought he did a bang-up job. He was wonderful. Was absolutely wonderful. I said to Patrick after we left, I liked every character, good or bad. Even the lackeys, even some of the villains' lackeys, I liked them too.
Yeah.
I liked everybody in this film. Yeah. That's a tough test to pass.
My biggest issue was pacing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And partially because I think I went in with not that I wanted it, but I expected it to be another, okay, we're going to see a lot of things blow up and a lot of things crash and a lot of people getting hurt. And I was not, like I said, I was expecting it, but I wasn't like wanting it. So when it didn't happen, I was almost like, well, this is nice, except it's a little slow.
In addition to Robert Downey Jr., we also have Marissa Tomei as May Parker. We get Donald Glover as Aaron Davis.
For a hot second.
Zendaya as Michelle Jones. Jon Favreau as Happy Hogan.
Which is a great name. And I asked you this during the movie. He's the director, right?
No, he is not. Favreau directed Iron Man to begin with.
And Elf, right?
Yes, okay. And Elf.
But he didn't direct this. Okay. I kept thinking he was the director.
The film is directed by John Watts.
Oh, yes, John Watts.
But Favreau kind of kicked off everything, but he did not direct this. But
okay.
He was in it as Happy Hogan, and we will go more into that with our spoiler portion. So
you forgot about Hannibal...
Hannibal Buress.
Buress.
That's right.
Because we know him.
We've actually seen Hannibal live doing a stand-up set.
Yeah. We were in Buffalo for a Ron Funches stand-up routine, and Hannibal Buress like walked in, and Ron Funches introduced him, and he came up and did a couple jokes, and he was awesome. So I feel like we're friends. I feel like Hannibal Buress and I are friends.
I feel like I know him.
So it was a good movie. We really enjoyed it. We highly, highly recommend you go out and see it. I think everybody will enjoy this movie. I think it'll get very good reviews.
So before we go to our spoiler-heavy portion of our review of Spider-Man Homecoming, we're going to take a small break. When we come back, we're going to discuss more in-depth the plot of Spider-Man Homecoming, along with more of our favorite moments from our favorite characters in this film and some of our cons of the movie. When we get back, sit tight. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, everybody. This is Steven.
And this is Chris.
And we're the hosts of the brand new podcast, Is This Adulting?
Every week, we're going to sit down to have a discussion about life, culture, our own mental health struggles, and just about anything you can think of.
Have you ever wondered which breakfast cereal's the best?
Or how to help your friends who are dealing with mental illness?
Or why waterbeds were a thing?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, then have we got a show for you.
And remember, kids, be happy, stay healthy, and go hug someone.
Because you never know, they might just be starting a podcast.
Hey, Kate.
Hey, Patrick.
Hey, guess who's here?
Who's here?
David Mitchell.
Wait, isn't that guy from Allen Act?
No, Allen Act. Hey, he's here to tell us about his schedule.
His schedule? Like what he does every day?
We want to know his BMs.
Oh, I have two. And I mean number two.
Dave's here to talk about his upcoming schedule for Allen Act.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Tell us all about your spring schedule for All in Act Theater.
Our spring schedule has some really great stuff coming up. First of all, we are opening in April 28th through May with Ken Ludwig's fantastic, hilarious farce, Lend Me a Tenor, followed by our student production in June of William Shakespeare's classic Romeo and Juliet.
I hear that's a comedy.
I'm sure it has funny moments.
What else are you guys doing?
We're following that up in September, October with Sleuth, followed by The Crucible by Arthur Miller, and we're ending the year with Ray Cooney's hilarious farce, Tom, Dick, and Harry.
If anybody wanted to go find out more information about All in Act or the upcoming productions, where might they go?
Oh, you might go to www.allinact.net. Not Allen's Act, All in Act, ALLANACT.NET. All in Act Theater is located at 652 West 17th Street in Erie, Pennsylvania. A dollar of every admission is donated to Community Shelter Services and helps Erie's homeless. We are located at 652 West 17th Street, Erie, PA. You can also get us at allinact.net. To date, we have raised over $39,000 for Erie's homeless.
That's fantastic.
You can also find All in Act on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And they are also proud sponsors of See, Here's the Thing.
Erie's best entertainment value. Theater lives here.
Hey, my name's Paul, and I'm not an animal expert.
I'm Donna, and I'm not an animal expert either.
And together we do a podcast about animals called Varmints.
Every week we pick an animal, do a bunch of research on it, and bring you some interesting facts about that animal.
But we don't stop there. We talk about that animal in movies, TV, and other pop culture.
And we talk about whether or not that animal would make a tasty dish, and how intelligent we think it is on the scale of 1 to 10.
It's exactly like one of those fancy PBS nature documentaries.
Except with more poo jokes.
New episodes go live every Thursday wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
Or you can visit us at blazingcariboustudios.com.
Varmints! Varmints!
And we are back. We stop for a sandwich a la Peter Parker in Spider-Man Homecoming.
There it is. First spoiler. He eats a sandwich.
First spoiler. Peter Parker eats a sandwich. And he tells him to
please
mush.
Please don't tell everybody else
he
about
it. He tells him to mush the sandwich down.
That's right. Because he likes it all nice and flat.
Yeah. We are now going to enter our spoiler heavy portion of Spider-Man Homecoming. So if you have not seen the film yet and you don't want the movie ruined by our spoilers, turn this off now or nay, audience. Don't turn it off. Pause it. Come back to it after you've seen it. So thus starts our spoiler portion.
Spoilers!
Of Spider-Man Homecoming. I feel like one of the first things I want to talk about is my favorite moment in the film. Do you know what I'm talking about?
The final credits.
No.
No.
But that's another one of my moments. There were several moments in this film I was so excited to talk about because either of the acting or just the coolness of the action sequence. I want to go right to the main twist.
No, really?
It's so good. Okay,
don't jump there.
Listeners, we have to kind of go back a little bit and talk
don't
about the plot a little
there.
Bit.
Yeah, talk about the plot.
The way the movie is set up is that Peter Parker is a high school student. And they dive into his dealings with his adolescence, liking girls, trying to fit in.
His best friend.
His best friends, yeah. He still plays with Star Wars Legos, stuff like that. So right off the top of the movie, they give us two introduction scenes. One introduces Michael Keaton's villain, who you don't really know is the villain quite yet. You just know that his backstory is that he was a construction worker trying to pick up after the fallout of the Avengers in New York City. And some government official comes to talk to him and tell him that, I'm sorry.
Some government official?
Tyne Daly. To tell him that, sorry, you know, they no longer need his help because the government is taking over. And as a result, also Stark is taking over. So it sets up right off the bat what his impetus is for hating Tony Stark and what drives him throughout the rest of the movie.
Because you find out that he purchased all this equipment and all these people and he was going to lose his shirt on this contract because the government now is coming in and saying, we don't need you, thank you.
And he makes a big deal about how he has to support his family. So there's that impetus as well. The next introductory scene, which is one of my favorite parts of the film, it shows us how Tony Stark picked up Spider-Man for the events in Captain America Civil War. And that whole sequence is so charming and so funny that I could watch it 10 times in a row and not get bored. So it shows how he sent Happy Hogan to go get him. And the whole time Spider-Man is filming this, like on a GoPro. On like a GoPro. Yeah. Like a vlog. He's making a vlog and they keep telling him, stop taping. You can't be taping this. And he's taping his hotel room. He's taping the battle sequences with Captain America.
Getting a suit on for the first time.
It's like seeing a behind the scenes look on a DVD.
Right.
And it was just very charming. So you get to kind of figure out, okay, here's what happened after he came back from Civil War, and he's been kind of waiting around for a few months for another call from Tony Stark, and he hasn't gotten one. Meanwhile, Happy Hogan is babysitting him. And
from afar,
Peter Parker is getting frustrated because he wants to go help. But we quickly kind of find out that Peter needs to learn a few things about being a proper superhero. He needs to figure out how his new suit works from Tony Stark. He needs to figure out how not to be too big for his britches. And then we find out that he likes this character named Liz, who I have never seen in any of the movies or comic cartoon incarnations. We also get another character named Michelle, played by Zendaya, who it's very obvious that she likes Peter, but Peter really doesn't pay her any attention. He's focused on this Liz character.
Well, they have a number of other characters that they introduce in a high school area that I felt like they spent a lot of time on that they didn't need to. The blonde that does the news in the newscast, they kind of focus a lot of times when they would show the TV show in the newscast, they would focus in on this blonde. And I kept thinking to myself, something is going to happen with this. Or when we first meet the woman that he likes, the blonde is sitting next to the woman and you keep thinking there's something going on there. Nothing ever comes of it. So I felt like there were some characters that they really kind of put as red herrings, a lot of red herrings out.
Yeah, I think that the blonde was just a way to kind of, the blonde appeared next to Flash, who is a character from Spider-Man. And I think it's just to show that, hey, this is a high school, we're doing the news. And I have to say, those fake news clips of the two kids doing like the high school news in the morning, I thought that was brilliant. They were so appropriately awkward. I thought that was very well done.
Me too.
But yeah, they do focus on some people that aren't that important. Come to find out, Liz Allen is actually in the Spider-Man comics. She is an actual character.
Liz Allen is...
was his love interest in the film.
Interest,
yeah.
Okay. Right.
And so you find Peter dealing with his feelings for her. And Peter's also on the... what is it? Decathletes or the mathletes.
He's on the debate.
The academic decathlon, or whatever you call it. So he's got that going. He lives with Aunt May, played by Marissa Tomei. Very much younger Marissa Tomei. But they've got her dressed up the whole time. Like she's from the 70s. I didn't get that it was in the 70s though. Did you?
No.
It can't be because it follows the events of Civil War.
No, she was definitely dressed way more frumpy than she was.
But she had like that really high-rise mom jeans on, and she had the weird glasses. Like, I'm not sure what they were going for there.
All the adult characters that live in the town know her and love her and are like swoon over her. And what you doing?
I'm just checking my resources to see who played Liz, and it was Laura Harrier. I've never been familiar with her, so that's someone new. So then, as the movie progresses, you find out that Michael Keaton's character has, since his construction days, been stealing some of the alien technology from the fallout of New York and has been using this technology to sell the weapons that are made with the technology.
Yeah, high grade military laser type weapons.
Yeah. And he's developed this set of flying wings that is now known as the Vulture. That's his character. And Peter Parker meets up with him because, of course, Peter is curious and starts to get wind of these weapons being sold. And so he follows the Vulture's henchman and ends up tracking him down. And so the whole movie kind of becomes this series of Peter's tracking the Vulture. Tony Stark is telling him to lay low, to not make a big name for himself, to not get in trouble. And the interesting forces behind what drives Peter and why Tony wants him to stay low and all that kind of stuff.
Tony develops the spider suit to have a training wheel program that to kind of dumbs down the suit to the bare essentials and has a tracking on it. So Happy can keep track of where Peter Parker is at all times. much to the chagrin of Peter Parker and his sidekick, they find a way to get the tracking token off. And his sidekick, who happens to be a computer whiz, finds a way to hack the suit to take the training wheels off.
Which, to take a moment, Ned, who is Peter Parker's best friend in the film, is wonderful. Their rapport back and forth is perfect.
Yeah.
It's absolutely perfect. He was wonderful.
He wants to be the guy in the chair.
Yeah, he says that to Peter. Hey, I'm your guy in the chair. You know, the one that gets to sit down and be at a computer center while you're out there doing stuff. And so he kind of becomes his sidekick of sorts. So where to go from here?
So they take the training wheels off, and then Peter Parker realizes that the suit has a lot more powers, tries to go again on his own to capture the bad guy selling the weapons, and there's a lot of hijinks because he has new webbing and new powers and new the computer also has a voice, much like Tony Stark's Iron Man. It has a voice, and he names the suit...
Karen.
So he has quite a relationship with Karen in the movie where he talks back and forth.
Derpy.
And every once in a while, Karen's like, do you want to turn to death mode or...
Automatic kill mode.
He's like, no.
Karen, stop.
Yeah. So that's really funny. And all the while, he's trying to foster his appreciation, his love for, what's her name again?
Liz.
For Liz. He pines after Liz. The suit Karen tells him, you know, you need to go for it. You need to tell her how you feel. And he's, of course, way too derpy to do that.
He's a teenager. Yeah. He doesn't know what to do with his feelings. All the while, Zendaya's character, Michelle, is just kind of hanging out in the background. And the whole time I kept going... Wait, like, why is she in this movie? She just kind of has these witty, sarcastic, wry one-liners that are very funny, to her credit. She did a great job with that. But she's just kind of there.
No purpose.
No real purpose. So the movie continues, and there's a wonderful, wonderful action scene where Peter has to save his friends in the Washington Monument. And I thought that was really well done. I don't know if I've ever seen a film that's focused an action sequence on the monument. Maybe National Treasure did. It's been so long since I've seen it.
I don't know.
Definitely didn't get used for the Lost Symbol film because that never got made, number one.
Yeah.
The Dan Brown novel. But I love that sequence. And here's where I want to get to, because this knocked me off my butt and knocked the wind out of me. You find out later in the movie, as Peter is preparing to go to the homecoming dance, he's finally gotten the courage to ask Liz out.
And Tony Stark has come, as a result of what Peter Parker has done, has taken the suit away from him.
Yeah.
And has said, you're done.
We forgot about the fairy scene, which we should probably mention first. The climax of the movie, maybe I'm wrong about that, is the scene where Peter tracks the Vulture to the Staten Island Ferry, where he is going to do a deal of weapons. And the Vulture's kind of been waiting for him, but then all of a sudden the FBI is there and Peter Parker doesn't know why. Long story short, too long, didn't read. Peter accidentally ends up ripping the boat in half with one of the Vulture's weapons and is trying to frantically pull the ship back together.
And that's a lot of previews.
It's the moment featured on trailer, it's not a spoiler. But then Iron Man comes and saves the day and is basically super pissed at him and takes his suit away. And it's a crushing moment for Peter because he just wants to help. He wants to do more.
So he wants Peter to go back to being a teenage boy and to not worry so much about being a superhero. And his point, the point that Tony Stark made is, if you're nothing without the suit, then you're nothing.
Yeah.
You need to be a superhero without the suit.
So here's my favorite moment by far. Peter Parker finally asks out Liz to homecoming, and his aunt drives him to her house, which we've already seen in a previous scene, a party scene. And it's typical, you know, son-mother talk, even though she's not really his mother. You know, what are you going to do when you get there? I'm going to open the door. I'm going to say this. Okay, you're going to be great. You don't just take a breath. He gets to the door, knocks, has the corsage in his hand, and who do we see behind the door as Liz's father but Michael Keaton? Patrick and I were like, what?
I did not see that coming.
They totally played that right. It was not even on my radar. And I usually can guess a twist coming. I usually can feel it in my bones. But this time, they mentioned the fact that he had a daughter. He had a drawing at the very beginning of the film and said, I have a daughter that draws. And then she mentioned at the party scene, yeah, my parents will kill me if anything gets broken. But that's it. They never mention any of their family ever again. And I thought that was brilliantly done, because the scene where Michael Keaton is driving Peter Parker and Liz to the dance.
And he still doesn't know that Peter Parker is Spider-Man.
But Peter absolutely knows he's the Vulture.
Totally knows he's the Vulture.
The tension is so great that, like, Patrick and I kept going, oh God. Like, we were so nervous for him. But then it starts dawning on the Vulture, Peter Parker is Spider-Man. There's too many.
And he's in the car and he's figuring it all out as they're driving. And he keeps looking in the rearview mirror at Spider-Man. Spider-Man just like sweating in the backseat looking at him. And it is like, it is beyond uncomfortable and it is beyond creepy. And you're like, you're thinking he doesn't have a suit. Nope. So he's dead. He's dead.
And the girl is right next to him.
Has no
of course,
clue.
Dad's not going to do anything crazy. But then he's like, oh, I'm going to talk to Peter by myself.
Yeah, I want to give Peter the talk, the dad talk.
The dad talk, the, you know, third degree. And so she leaves and he pulls out a gun out of like the
console.
The console and basically says to Peter, look,
he
you
doesn't
know,
he doesn't point at him.
No, but he has
turns
it.
Around in that Michael Kill Keaton. Shot. Yeah. He turns around that Michael Keaton eyes, those eyes.
It was very tense. And he basically says, look, like we're even now. Like you don't talk about this and you go in there and show my daughter a good time. Not too much. Yeah, not too good a time. And of course, you know, Peter gets in there and is like, I can't stay here. I have to go after him. And I just found that whole sequence to be so well done.
Oh,
so well done.
Michael Keaton, blah, blah. Love him. Love him.
He did so well.
Love him.
And then, of course, Peter Parker chases him down without the suit. And as if it could be predicted, he is able to defeat him without the suit, thus proving that he is a true superhero. He gets him upgrade. Tony Stark wants to recruit him for the Avengers. And I thought that scene was so funny. And he says, you know what? No, I'm good. I'm going to stay and fight for the little guy. And he stays in Brooklyn with his aunt and on to the next adventure.
But the last scene before the credits...
Which one was that?
He gets he's in his house and he's wearing the suit and he takes his mask off and he's in his bedroom and his back is to the door in his bedroom and he's like sitting there all proud of himself and the silhouette behind him is Aunt May.
Yep.
And all you hear Aunt May say is, what the f-? And it goes right to like the credit music starts. And the timing of it is perfect. What the?
It goes right to the music.
Oh, so wonderful.
It was so well timed.
Yep. Very well done.
There were so many wonderful comedy moments in this film. Looking back now at our recap, thinking of things that stick out, like, you know, show my daughter a good time. Not too good of a time. In such a tense scene that it's like that was brilliantly written.
Yeah.
There were some dialogue lines that I found fell a little flat. That being my maybe one critique of it and the pacing, like you said.
Pacing of it, yeah.
So give me your top three pros. What do you think? What's your favorite three things? Character, scene, moment?
Michael Keaton.
Number one.
Michael Keaton.
Number
and
two.
Michael Keaton.
You didn't like anybody else?
I will say Michael Keaton was definitely a highlight for me. The second thing that I loved, that I really loved, was the cutscene in the beginning with the steady cam where he's vlogging. I thought that was incredibly well done and very, very entertaining. And I liked the film. Don't get me wrong. I really did enjoy it, but those were my top two.
One out of five. How would you rank it? I'm going to guess you're going to say either a 3.5 or a 4.
Let's say 3.5.
Not higher?
3.5.
Let me put it to you this way. Did you like Guardians more or Spider-Man more? Guardians 2.
Wow. I would have to say I enjoyed Guardians 2 more.
Okay. Did you like Wonder Woman more or Spider-Man more?
Wonder Woman.
That's an easy one.
Yeah.
Did you like Wonder Woman more or Guardians 2 more?
Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Yeah, Wonder Woman.
I think it goes WW. GOTG 2. SH.
You agree with me about Spider-Man?
I liked it a lot. I really liked it. I think I'm going to like it more on repeat viewings.
Oh, I agree.
Because like I said, it's such a different superhero film.
It is.
It's almost like a John Hughes film at times. What it excels at is properly developing characters. Instead of just saying, here are the characters, here are some of their top three personality quirks, and now we're going to fight. It actually, you really, really care about Peter Parker after the first 20 minutes. The Steadicam scene where he's filming all of his stuff, you are that 14-year-old kid super jazzed to be a part of the Avengers, a part of something. You think about the coolest thing in your life you've ever done and how badly you want to film that because you don't want to forget it. That's him, and that was captured beautifully in the first, 10 minutes?
Yeah.
And then I think something else it does really well is it makes you really feel conflicted about Michael Keaton's character because he is a father, he is a husband, he's been doing this the whole time to provide for his family. And you end up being as conflicted as Peter probably is at that moment when you realize the guy I've been chasing is my crush's father. What the heck do I do?
Yeah.
He's a family man as well, but he's a crazy family man, but he's a family man.
Yeah. And then there's two post-credits scenes.
Wait. We haven't even got to my pros and
I'm sorry.
Your cons, and I was going to bounce back and forth like tennis match, and then we were going to go to the end. Okay. Sorry. I should have been more explicit.
Go on.
So how about your cons?
God, pacing for me was a big thing. I didn't like some of the other characters that I felt were kind of teasers. Like they kept showing certain people on screen. I kept thinking, oh, that's going to be a big deal later. And it never was. Some of the secondary characters, I kind of thought were a little too red herring-y. I mean, I guess they were trying to hide the Mary Jane thing.
Which we haven't talked about yet, but.
Yeah, they were trying to hide the Mary Jane thing, but That's the con for me.
It's not ruining anything because when the movie was being...
We've already ruined the whole movie.
When the movie was being talked about back, I don't know, 6 months ago, they said Zendaya was cast as Mary Jane. It was not a secret. But then the movie starts and you're like, my name's Michelle. Oh, so she's not Mary Jane. That's okay. I thought she was... We take the absolute entire movie for her to go... Oh, well, you know, my name's Michelle, but my friends call me MJ. Oh, there she is.
Yeah, when she said that, the 40 comic book nerds in the theater went,
yeah! Yeah, they were waiting for it. She did a good job. I love some of her one-liners. They play her very wry, very sarcastic, very... Almost, she's very much a loner. Very, very different than any other kind of Mary Jane we've ever seen in the cartoon incarnations, in anything in the films. I mean, it's a far cry from Kirsten Dunst, but I liked it. It worked for me. And as someone that originally, when I heard her casting, I was like, I'm not so sure. I was sold. And I liked the character of Liz as well. I liked both of them very much. And then there were some kids on the academic decathlon team, and they were likable. The teacher was likable. And so my pros would be Tom Holland. Just awesome. Awesome performance. He's a great young actor. I look forward to seeing what else he does. I look forward to him in Infinity War so much now. I would say that, let's see. I mean, there were so many positives. How do you narrow them down? The Steadicam thing really stuck out for me. That was really cute addition to the movie. Oh, how do I pick? What were your three? Michael Keaton
and the Steadicam were my two. If that's okay, if you can't think of any others.
There was just a lot of really good.
Then go to your cons.
I don't want to go to my cons. I like my pros. I liked Tony Stark in it. I thought that it was a good blend of... Robert Downey Jr. is so funny. And then, you know, when you pair that with Tom Holland's character, who is awkward and just so afraid of who he can be and who he needs to be, it was a nice blend. So I'll say that their chemistry was really good. For me,
okay.
My cons. I thought that along with you, the pacing at times was a little slow. It felt like once we got to the boat scene, we kind of already peaked a little bit. And the boat scene was supposed to be a big climactic moment. And I feel like that needed to be faster. Some of the dialogue fell a little flat. There were times where like there'd be four lines in between two characters and it really wasn't entertaining. It just kind of was just bland dialogue. Some of the things felt a little convenient, like the fact that Tony knew about the Vulture being on the ship and had the FBI. Well, how did you know that he was going to be on the ship? Have you been watching Spider-Man the whole time? That wasn't really explained.
Well, I mean, I think that had he not, I think there would have been some outcry to, you know, you're Tony Stark. You don't know this is going on right underneath your nose.
Well, and that's what I mean. The last scene, how did he not know his plane was hijacked?
Yeah.
He's Tony Stark. I mean, like he knows everything that's going on. He's able to send a proxy suit even when he's in India, to talk to Parker when he's in Brooklyn and doesn't need to be there. Like, how on earth did he not realize this guy had hijacked a ship? It just was very convenient. Some of those moments where we don't know how to explain it, we just do it anyway. And that's, there's a lot of films that's victim to, but yeah, I give it a 4.25.
Okay.
I'm tempted to say 4.5, but I don't want to go that high. I think 4.
Okay. All right.
Not to be confused with Thor. 4. Down at Fraggle Rock. Down at Ragnarok. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
So you did enjoy it, though.
I did. I did enjoy it. I definitely would see it again. And when it comes out, I will watch it again.
A good score by Michael Giacchino.
Yes.
And which made me even more excited to hear Danny Elfman's score for Justice League.
Love me some Danny Elfman. So then the cutscenes.
The cutscenes at the end were like the icing on the cake. Very, very much appreciated. We get two cutscenes. So if you're seeing the film, wait around. There are indeed two. The first one, we get to see what happens to Michael Keaton's character after he is thrown in jail. And basically an inmate who we see in the beginning of the film, his name is Gargan, comes up to him and just kind of says, look, we heard that you know who Spider-Man is. There are some people on the outside that would like to take care of him. And Michael Keaton basically says, I don't know who he is. If I did, I would have killed him myself. This is because Parker had saved the Vulture from being killed in one of the final scenes. Or is it because he wants to take care of Peter Parker himself? We don't know. We read after we left that it might be an allusion to the Sinister Six gang, which was comprised with a Vulture and Doc Ock and some other villains. So there may be that if you want to read into it. And then the second post-credit scene. So one thing we forgot to talk about is that Captain America does have a cameo in this entire movie.
Right.
They show him as someone who has created these fitness videos for like you would have in a typical middle or high school where you have to do presidential fitness testing. And Captain America has filmed himself for these kinds of tests. And it's just very funny because it's very much dated as Captain would talk. But basically at the end of the movie, we get another Captain America scene that just kind of says, isn't it funny how we all get hyped up for something so small and how we could probably be disappointed? And he ends the film by saying, how many more of these do I have to do? And then it cuts to black. It was just, it didn't show us anything. It didn't tease anything. It was just a funny kind of jab at post-credit scenes and Captain America.
Good stuff.
Good stuff. So Spider-Man Homecoming, go see it, my friends. You will not be disappointed. As for us, this is all we got for episode 58. Next week when we come back, we're going to be talking more about our favorite news clips like we normally do. And we're going to be sitting down with Eric Garner from the Know Nothing podcast.
What does he know?
He knows nothing, Jon Snow. No, he knows a lot. And we were lucky enough to be guests on his show a few weeks ago, and now we're returning the favor, and he's going to be coming on to chat with us. So before we leave you, don't forget podcastawards.com. You can vote for us in the TV film categories or under the People's Choice Awards. If we get enough votes, we can continue on to round two. So we need your help. We can't do this without you, dear listeners. Patrick, any last words?
Thank you, Canada.
Thank you, Canada?
Yeah.
Well, Eric Garner is from Canada, so that's legit.
Thanks, Eric.
Thank you for listening and not moaning and groaning as we've been gone on our trips. I got it in. I slipped it in there. I did.
You jammed it in there.
Yeah. Find us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, what have you. We love to hear listener feedback. Stay safe out there, America.
You with your hand on your hip again.
Stay safe, America. We'll see you next week on another episode of See, Here's the Thing. Bye.
Bye.